That'll preach right there. It's all about. He deserves that. He deserves that dedication. Amen. He gave it all for us. And then it says, 1 Corinthians 6, we're bought with a price. We're not our own. So it shouldn't be that big a deal. That's not what they're thinking about. It's not above and beyond the call of duty. It's just Romans 12, just reasonable. Reasonable service. It's good to be saved. Amen. I hope you are. And if you're not, well, the good news is you can be. Amen. Like some of the congregationals, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. I'm glad I got in. And I wasn't born in. I got, not by the first birth anyway. Someone told me. Someone showed me what the Bible said. That's what makes the difference. Religion doesn't rescue anybody. Matter of fact, oftentimes it makes it harder. Man complicates what the Lord intended to be simple. Amen. I'm glad he put me in a place where I could hear it straight, waist high, right over the plate, right in the strike zone. Couldn't miss. Amen. All right, let me read something to you. It says this. An elderly man was having hearing problems and went to see a specialist. And doctor fitted him with some hearing aids that brought his hearing back to full strength. Elderly. Wow, I never thought of it like that. After a few weeks, the man had to go back for a checkup, make sure everything was working, and it was. And the specialist said, everything seems to be working perfect. Your family should be delighted that you can hear everything again. And the guy looked at him and said, are you kidding? I haven't even told any of them yet. I just sat in the corner of the room listening intently. I changed my will 4 times. I wonder if my dad was doing that. He didn't hear too well, and so he didn't think. You know, a year or so ago, a year and a half ago, the VA gave me a nice set of hearing aids. And I appreciate it. I needed them. I ruined my hearing in the military and with motorcycles and everything. And I had hearing aids. I was already on my own. And so we had them reprogrammed for my wife. So we both have them now. And, you know, the Bible said two should be one. And I'll tell you a really good illustration of that is when you're in church together and you have to borrow each other's hearing aid batteries. Honey, you got his batteries. Now we have to carry them. And I just thought, oh, isn't that sweet, you know, because now we even... Okay, take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians, just a little real life there stuff there. Amen. If you haven't noticed this, I have a good time in church. I like being in church. Amen. I like being able to know when to take it seriously and when to laugh and being able to laugh at myself. Amen. Things like that. And that'll keep you from getting hung up and putting too much emphasis on your flesh. Keep our emphasis on Christ. Let's just start reading verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11, the Bible says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And then it says in verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's pray. Father, I love you. And again, thank you for the privilege to preach. And I pray say something that help your people, put a smile on your face. We'll thank you for that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, there's someone in here who's not saved tonight. I pray that you continue to bear witness to their heart that they need to get that thing settled. And I pray that they would. And Lord God, it is good to be able to assemble like this and help us to take advantage of it as often as we can and invite others too. And we'll just thank you for anything that goes right tonight. Again, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior, amen and amen. All right, verse number 15, the Bible says this, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And I say tonight that as a child of God, your heart's desire ought to be spiritual. We fail, but that ought to be our desire, and we've got a Bible that tells us how to be. And so our text tonight says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. And so if you're going to be spiritual, you're going to have to judge some things. That's exactly what it says. And that shouldn't be that hard, because if there's anything human beings are prone to do, is judge. Right. We judge. We judge people. We judge places. We judge things. We judge everything. So I want to say tonight, that's okay. It's okay to judge. And not only is it okay, God expects us to judge. But I want to say this, you take your Bible, turn to John chapter 7. The difference between what we're supposed to do to be spiritual, he that is spiritual judgeth all things, and we do it, we judge, but the difference between what we're supposed to do to be spiritual and what we generally do, usually do, is found in verse 24 in John chapter 7. And the Lord said it, and he said, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So it's he that is spiritual judgeth all things, but the admonishment tonight, beloved, is to learn how to judge righteously. Amen. And so this is a message about judging, and it's not against it. You're supposed to judge, it says, all things. But this message is some points on how to do it right. Now, a preacher's supposed to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And we've had a little each in the last couple of days. And I'm going to give you some practical application tonight in an area that we're all involved in. So let's do it right. So I give you the rules of judging. Rules according to who? Rules according to Dave Spurgeon tonight. Amen. Take your Bible, go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse number 48. And it says this. It says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Number one rule of judging is you keep it in that book right there. You judge according to Scripture. Amen. We are Bible believers. Amen. This is the final authority in all matters. Amen. Of faith and practice. And we judge things and we do it wrong and we're supposed to do it right. And the number one rule of judging is keep it in the Bible. Amen. And let me say this too. Says you want to prove at any given time. It's referred to in 2 Peter chapter 3 as wresting the Scriptures, and those that do it to their own destruction. All right? So judge according to Scripture. When you don't, here's what happens. Your experience, or even worse, your opinion takes over, and you have made yourself the authority. Now, I'm not even going to ask you, like preachers ask questions sometimes. I'm not even going to ask you if you think you're qualified to do that. I'm just going to tell you, you're not. You're not qualified to be the authority. Amen? So here's where the red flags go up. And when you get a little Bible in you, you ought to get a little Bible in you. That'd book says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to study your Bible, and when you get some Bible in you, you judge according to Scripture, and when a circumstance or a situation comes up, and you know what the Scripture says, but your flesh disagrees, you, if this is where the flags ought to go up, when these words come into your mind, but I think, man, that ought to shut it down. That's a problem. And let me say this too. You're allowed to have your own thoughts. You're allowed to have your own opinions. You're allowed to have your own preferences. You're just not allowed to use them as a means of judging other people. Because God does not lay the same convictions on everybody. People are at different places in their spiritual maturity and their spiritual growth. Amen. So we need to have grace with the younger. And at the end of the day, too, God just doesn't lay the same convictions on everybody for different reasons. Amen. This isn't a club with a bunch of rules, and you got to do it like this, and you got to do it like that. There's some room, amen, for some individuality. But at the end of the day, don't you forget, that it goes back to here. And if what you think, what you say, what you do is contrary to the Bible, you're out of line, friend. And don't be surprised if somebody pulls your coat down the way in the old days of saying, reminds you that we need to get back in line with that Bible. There's some rules. He says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. But the number one rule of judging is that you keep in that book. I mean, we're Bible believers. And so here's a hot tip. If the Scripture is silent on a matter, might be a good idea for you to remain silent on it too. Like I say, again, you can have your own opinions, but keep them to yourself when it comes to judging other people. Amen. You're not the standard. You're not the standard Gestapo. Amen. Temple. We're cruising right along, aren't we? How about this? Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, rules of judging, according to Spurgeon. If you like the message, that'd be Dave Spurgeon. If you don't, blame it on Charles. I don't care. Amen. People ask me all the time. I mean, I've been in church. I've been on the road 20 years full-time, 5 years before that part-time. And it never ceases. I go to church and people say, are you related to Charles Spurgeon? Yeah. And I say, yeah, we're brothers in Christ. Amen. I mean, that's the truth, isn't it? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I gave you some time to get there, verse number 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Okay, rule number two. Make sure, before you judge, you're supposed to judge, but before you do, make sure you have all the facts. Make sure you have all the facts. You better be real careful about forming an opinion and then inserting it into a situation without hearing the whole matter. That's what it says. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, I did 5 years federal probation. And I couldn't leave the Southern District of Ohio without a federal judge's permission. And I got that federal judge's permission often as I fulfilled my duty to take 1,000 hours and do community service telling other people how I got off of dope, how I got off of liquor, and how I got out of motorcycle gangs. And a full-blooded Jewish federal judge sentenced me to tell other people. And I just told him how all that happened. I got saved. And God used a full-blooded Jewish federal judge to sentence me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that, I was all up and down the East Coast and all down in the South and even up a little bit in the Midwest. And I didn't stay in the Southern District of Ohio a whole lot more than I did before I was on probation. But the beauty of this thing is my church had a Bible Institute. And a couple days a week, and they'd have a Bible Institute, two or three classes, sometimes three classes a night. Here I am confined, amen, and I just, I'd go to Bible Institute class. I go to classes. I went to classes the first year that I'm bond, just because, I needed a place to go. I was, pretty active when I was lost. I was out and about quite a bit, and, amen, I wasn't a couch potato before I got saved. So I said, I need to be doing something. I just went to the church. I knew every place. I didn't need some theologian to tell me there was a lot of things I needed to change. So when I got saved, I'd go to church, and they'd say, we're having Bible Institute. I'm getting ready to go to penitentiary, and I sign up for classes. And I thought to myself, if I get 10%, if I get 10% of what they're saying, that'll be more than I get if I stayed home and watch some football game. I mean, there's television. You guys don't be watching that game while I'm preaching. I know the Cowboys are playing. I heard. Yeah. Oh, you tablet heads and your phones. Yeah. Amen. Man, I've been preaching, and people were on Facebook while I was preaching, trying to pretend they're on their Bible. You better be on your Bible, David Kincaid. I got a Bible Institute I'm going to. I got notebooks from that first year. I look at them now on occasion. I can't read anything. I hadn't taken notes, but I tell you what, getting under the Word of God, you hear some things. You learn some things. You can't help but grow. Amen. We had a class. There was an evangelist back east. His name was Lanny Hagbrook. He is from Michigan. He was a pretty popular evangelist back then, I guess, in the 70s and the 80s. And now he took a church for 1 year in Cincinnati to help him. Came off the road and helped him get go through a trial and get a pastor. And our Bible Institute dean, he asked him to teach a class on evangelism. And he came up, drive 50 miles up from Cincinnati once a week. And here I am. I'm just taking all the classes. And so I heard some things years before I ever dreamed I'd be an evangelist. But I listened and I paid attention. And here's what he said. He said, beware if you ever get a chance to get out and about and visit other churches. And I was already doing that with the community service. He says, Beware of flattery. Beware of people telling you what you want to hear. And he quoted the verse and it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Listen, I knew that from the old days. I knew that on the street. Somebody tells you what you want to hear, they want something. So I thought, okay, that's good. And then he said this, number two, he said, be careful if you ever get out in other churches of people asking for your opinion. And he said, watch out for that. Okay, I'm taking it all in and writing it in my notes. I got on the road a few years later. I learned early on. I was up preaching in the church up in Toledo, Ohio, and a lady comes up to me, and here's what she said. Brother Spurgeon, that was the greatest message I ever heard. Listen, the flag of that girl was wanting something. And I'm glad I was smart enough to not fall for it, because people fall for it all the time. Your flesh likes that. Yeah. You better be careful about that. Amen. And so then she said this. She said, now she started with that kind of introduction. Then she said this. I really would like your opinion on something. I mean, she was so convinced. I was tapped in, man, direct line, right, to God after that great message, you know. I think I preached on ducks and deacon. No, not back then. I did it here, though. That was about to measure my theological depth right there. She said, I'd like your opinion on something. And I said, ma'am, I can give you my opinion on your question. You ain't watching the game, right? Before you even ask it. Now, if she thought before, she's positive I'm tapped in now. She goes, you can? I said, absolutely. Go ask your pastor. That's what I told her. I said, you need to go ask your pastor. Her and I both learned that. Amen. Listen, here's what Brother Hadwick said. People will come to you and give you about 40% of the information, just enough so that you'll agree with them, just enough So you'll say, yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that. Then they'll go back to their pastor, who's probably already told them, no, this gal's pastor dead. Hey, man, you should have seen, man, she was disappointed when I said that. She'd already been to a pet. She had some harebrained idea that she was going to sing Amazing Grace in a bar with a karaoke machine and that would be all right. Yeah. And he said, oh, no, I don't think that'd be a good idea. And she wasn't going to tell me all those details. I'm telling you, beware. That's what I was told. Beware. If you're not willing, if you're not prepared to get all the information, you better be real careful about passing judgment. Better be careful about giving advice. Amen. Here's why. The next verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It says this, for God, right? For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, you and I, we're prone to judge on incomplete information, and that's how we get in trouble. God, on the other hand, he knows every detail every time. So, you know, you're supposed to judge. But if you're in a situation, if you're not willing or you're not in a position to get all the facts, maybe you better just back out of that one. Because the second rule of judging is make sure you have all the facts. Make sure you know all the pertinent information. Judge according to Scripture. Make sure you have all the facts. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24 and verse number 23. And it says this, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. So the next rule of judging is you better judge fairly. You better judge fairly. You're supposed to judge. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. But boy, I tell you what, you find yourself in a position where you need to make a determination, you need to make some judgment, you need to make a judgment call. You better make sure that you judge fairly. Now, it seems like this should be a no-brainer, but it isn't. And over, I've seen instances where people don't examine all the facts because they don't really care about all the facts. If you're not careful, you'll judge based on what or who you want to believe. Amen? And I'm going to tell you something tonight. Be careful of overlooking or ignoring or covering up for a friend or family member while at the same time nailing somebody else to the wall for the same thing. Because nothing will destroy your credibility in the area of judging quicker than having a double standard by not judging fairly. Nothing will get you labeled a hypocrite quicker than having a double standard in this area. Amen. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. And we judge all the time. But there's some things that we need to make sure we go by the rules. We do it right because it's serious stuff. Amen. And if you're not prepared to go by the rules, then you need to excuse yourself from that particular situation. Take your Bible, go to 1 Kings chapter 3. Just a couple things tonight. First Kings chapter 3. Now, if I was to say to you tonight, I know you got enough Bible in you, that when God asked Solomon, let me see where that is, verse number 5, he said, in Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and saying, God said, ask what I shall give thee. Now, you're familiar with this. And if I was to ask you, just throw it out off the top of your head, I'd say, what was it that Solomon asked for? He could ask for anything. God could give him anything. And if I just threw it out there, the pat answer is he asked God for wisdom. But that's not really what he asked for. Let's continue verse number 6. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, thy father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of whose people? Thy people. And thy servant Solomon is in the midst of thy people, God, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Here's what he asked for, verse number 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great people? Solomon was aware that he was in a position where a lot of people, God's people, were relying on him, and he didn't say, oh boy, I'm the king now, I get to call the shots. When God himself asked him, what can I do for you? What do you want? And he said this, I realize I'm in a position where my decisions are going to affect your people. And what he asked for was an understanding heart for judgment. Amen. Because judging is serious. Amen. A judge is someone that has the wisdom and the ability to discern truth and propriety. It's a big deal. Amen. That's why you ought to be glad that Hillary Clinton won't be appointing the next Supreme Court judge. Amen. I'll amen myself. Your preacher showed me how. Amen. I got so much arthritis in my shoulders, I can't do it. Amen. But that's all right. Ask God for good judging ability. And look what it says here in verse 10. It says, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. So if you want to please the Lord, when a circumstance situation comes up and you need some wisdom because of the great responsibility, might be with your kids, might be somewhere where your testimony's at stake, and when it comes to being able to tell people about Christ, you want to make the right decision, ask God, man. Don't just let it come off your top of your head. Ask God for an understanding heart, for good judging ability. Amen. You won't have to do as much backtracking. And now that I'm telling you, it's serious business. And Solomon asked God for an understanding heart. And that's one of the rules. And so, judging, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. And so you need to keep it in the scripture. Amen. And you need to make sure you have all the facts. And you need to judge fairly. Judge fairly. Now, if you're prejudiced, if you're in a position where a friend is involved or a family member and you can't be fair, you need to be honest enough with yourself to say that and withdraw from that circumstance. Amen. There's things I don't want to get involved in because I'm biased. Amen. You need to ask God for good. Don't we? I mean, doesn't it still say, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path? And I'm here to tell you that when you come to the area of judging, amen, we need him to direct our path. Because it's a great responsibility. That's when it comes to our brother or sister in Christ. Because, listen, we're children of God. You're his people, just like Israel was his people. Rules of judging. Let's go to the most famous verse on judging in the entire Bible. Who knows what that is? Matthew chapter 7. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Now, this is the most famous verse, especially for lost people. Yeah, in the Bible. They know this one. And between this and a little wine for thy stomach's sake, you know. And talk about not rightly dividing. Amen. And tell somebody else, the liberal Christian, they know this verse. They love this verse. They quote this verse. They get it tattooed on their back. I don't know. But, yeah, don't judge me. It said there in chapter 7 and verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged. I'll tell you who likes that verse, backslidden Christians. Amen. I mean, the Holy Ghost is all over them, and then when a Christian looks at them wrong, let alone says something, boy, that's the one they want to throw out. out there. Judge not, let you be judged. You know, they got so much junk in their lives, so much sin in their life. Amen. They're under so much conviction, but it's still their battle cry. Judge not, lest you be judged. Well, it does say that, and Jesus did say that, but look what it says in verse number 2. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Don't judge. Yeah, well, but you're gonna. You can't help it. We're that way. We judge all the time. We're trying to figure out, we're trying to learn how to judge righteous judgment. Amen. Not only are you going to judge, you're going to be judged because other people can't help it either. Because we're wired that way. He goes on, with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. All right? So then it says, let me say it like this. The next rule of judging is to judge a flay. Be real merciful when you have to judge because, here's how it goes. It says in James chapter 2 and verse 13, For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So I was taught this early on, and I didn't learn it as fast as I wish I would have in every case. But I was told early on, judge mercifully and forgive easily. Yeah, make people grovel. I know, you can throw out this, well, if I did anything, I'm sorry. That's not repentance. That's not real sorrow. But if a person really does, and then offenses do come, and sometimes we say things we shouldn't say, and sometimes, you know, I don't give one other benefit of doubt. I get all that. But then again, if somebody comes and they've got some sorrow, they real forgiveness, they ask you to forgive them, don't make them grovel. Unless you think you're going to enjoy it when your time comes. Because that's how it goes. Amen. It says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, it says, be kind one to another. Alright, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And, you know, that's what it says, and that's what we're supposed to do, and that's a Bible principle, to be sure. But at the same time, knowing that, we also, in the back of our mind, have instances where that's hard to do. Somebody said something, or done something, or said something about one of your kids, or something's happened, and you just smile, but you haven't forgiven them. And there's days like that. And here's how God cuts to the chase on that. He says, forgiving one another even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We need to be reminded on occasion. Listen, I'm telling you, you need to judge mercifully and forgive easily because nobody has ever done anything to you that remotely compares with what your sin did to Jesus Christ. Amen. That's just where the rubber meets the road, and the Lord forgives. And that's why we're supposed to spend some time in our Bible so we can look at things like it. Look at things like that through the Scripture. Rule number, whichever one we're on, number 5, I guess it is judge mercifully. And here's what will help you judge mercifully. You're in Matthew chapter 7, look at verse number 3. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Brother Brian was talking today about God, the Lord, giving parables, and what a vivid illustration this is. A mote is a tiny particle. I looked it up. Are you impressed? Amen. Well, I mean, you know, by contact, it's something in your eye. But it's a tiny particle, and the Lord contrasts that. The Bible teaches by contrast, comparison, and repetition. So we got a contrast between a tiny particle and a beam. All right, can you think about that? I looked up beam when I was studying the weaver's beam that Goliath's spear was the size of. That's about 3-inch long in diameter. And the Lord's saying, why are you being critical or picking somebody apart for some little, and you got this log sticking out of your head. I mean, kind of gets the point across, doesn't it? Amen. So there's some rules of judgment. He says, judge not that you be not judged, but you're going to be judged, and you're supposed to judge, but you need to be real careful about it, and you need to judge mercifully. And the illustration from that verse is this. Before you judge yourself, get off your high horse, and you wouldn't get in so much trouble for inserting yourself where you don't belong because you didn't judge rightly. We're supposed to judge righteous judgment. And the passage goes on there in verse number 5 in there in Matthew 7. It says, the hypocrite. Amen. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye. And then thou shalt see clearly how to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Then you'll have the right attitude too. Amen. It says in 1 Corinthians 11 and 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Boy, there's the rule. There's a rule of judgment. That's the final one. You start with the scripture and you got the rest of the message, and you just be real humble and judge yourself, and don't be so quick to insert yourself in other people's lives until you. You know, you can judge themselves. They don't, because it's wrong sometimes. And beloved, we're wrong sometimes. And let me say to you, don't let your pride keep you from admitting to yourself. Amen. You're not perfect, because you're the only one you have fooled if you think you are. So since we're supposed to judge, this message, a little message on how to do it right, the rules of judging. Judge according to Scripture. Make sure you have all the facts. Judge fairly. Ask God for good judging ability. Novel idea. Amen. Judge mercifully and judge yourself. It said there in John 7, once more, in verse 24, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So, practical message tonight for you to consider. And if you need to make some adjustments to how you've been doing it, then that's what you better do. That's what you ought to do. And if you've been doing it wrong, really wrong in some way or area, ask God to forgive you. And then start doing it right. And if you've been unfair with another brother or sister, then maybe you need to ask them to forgive you too. And then start doing it right. And last thing, let me say this. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse number 8, a verse we love because it talks about getting a crown of righteousness. But when Paul says, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown, it says, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Now, I tell you, don't ever get over this thought right here. If you're saved here tonight, the righteous judge of glory has judged you qualified for eternal life. And that's what Jesus Christ, the hard way, the Lord into existence, did not speak sin out of existence. I've thought about that over and over. Sin is so grievous to God that he gave his only begotten son. Gave his only begotten son at a time in Israel's history where the death shed is capable of cleansing us, each and every one of us, from all sin. And I can't get over that. A wretch like me, wretch like you. Amen. And if you're in here tonight and you're not saved, no matter who you are or what you've done or where you've been, the righteous judge of heaven that knows every secret about every one of us says, whosoever come, let him come.
Bible says that the ground's level at the cross. If you're not saved, you can have your sins forgiven. Say, well, what about eternity? That's where we get started. There's other stuff to learn later, but don't miss it. Don't miss it. The righteous judge says, come unto me. If you're not saved tonight, that's what you need to do. And if you are, well, now you're responsible for the information. And you've been judging. We do it all our lives. But there's some areas, I mean, didn't that come out of the Bible? I didn't download that from Focus on the Family. Can you do that? I don't even know. Can you do that, Dave? Oh, okay. And judge righteously. All right, I'm done. Somebody come and rescue me. I heard a preacher say one time, well, I'm talking about invitation, says, I'm going to land this plane. And I thought to myself, I was a paratrooper. I jumped out of planes. I never landed one. So I'm not landing this one. Here you go, Doc. You land the plane, and I'm jumping out. Amen.